In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
We have all these speakers speaking and speaking and speaking, and we give God 10 minutes. That's really true, I know. I know, that's why we're dying, I know. That's not the way we started in 1968. That's not the way we started. We started by singing the high praises of God. We started by worshiping God. We didn't know any better. Thanks be to God, we knew nothing. And that was the best way, when you know nothing. Because when you think you know something, you're in deep trouble. Because then you start remembering that we're going to convert their heads. And you don't convert heads. You have to convert hearts before the heads are converted. And the presence of God converts people. No one else. And that presence comes when we worship him. You know what we've been doing for the last, this is our 13th or 14th night. We've been gathering to worship God for 4 hours with no schedule, nothing, if nothing planned, because you know what? Our plans are all about us and not about him. Honest. Listen, I've been in this for a long time, and I'm sick of seeing the child that I gave birth to die. God used me and a couple of others in Boston. And I'm sick of seeing things die. So what we're doing is we're just coming to worship God. I'm going to tell you, we have had people that, you know, they've been coming to our services. And we do a healing service every single week. They come. They've been like, in Italian, you call them mezza morta, the half dead. Like, they're waiting for somebody to put their hands on their head as if it were magic. But you know what? The last 14 nights, those same people have come alive. I'm looking at their faces and I'm saying, these are different people. They're the same people, but they're different people. You want to know why? Because they started to praise God again. They started to worship God again the way he deserves. I even see this poor lady that's been coming for years, that is the saddest looking lady in the whole world. And I saw her clapping her hands and going like this. I said, oh, thank you, Jesus. Something is happening. Something is happening. Thank you, Lord, that this beautiful lady is being touched, because she was just waiting for people to lay hands on her, because it's all about laying hands on people. I don't think so. I don't think so. I'm not against laying hands on people. We do it all the time. But you know when we're doing it now? When God tells us to. It's not automatic we're going to lay hands on everybody, because the liturgy is a formal prayer of the church, and it should be that. It's not my prayer, it's the prayer of the church. Therefore, I have no right to change it. Okay? But when we gather like this, there's no form. We don't have to have a form. They call this paraliturgical, and every meeting and every service should be different. Not the same person getting up every week to read the same scripture. The same person prophesying. The same please, give me a break. That's not life. That's not life. Life is when the Spirit of God starts moving in everybody. Life is when we start worshiping God the way he deserves. When we join the heavenly chorus singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God up. That's life. And we've forgotten that. We have forgotten that. That's why charismatic renewal is on the way out. Now we can start again. We can start again with the worship of God. Things happen when you worship God. We had a little baby. I got a call several weeks ago from a lady in Florida. I had done a conference in Florida. It sounds like I do all these conferences, that they come all at once. I did a conference in Florida with my friend Maria Vadia. It's called WOW, Women of Worship. But there were men going to it too. And they worshiped for a good time, but it wasn't long enough for me. You know, they worshiped for 50, 60 minutes. We're doing it for an hour and a half, 2 hours. And then I preach for a little while, then we worship for another hour and a half, 2 hours. Yeah, that's when things happen. Well, anyway, we're at this WOW conference, and, you know, I finished doing what I needed to do, and I was home a couple of weeks and received a telephone call. Telephone call was from a lady from Florida. She says, I want you please to... She woke me up, first of all. That's not a good thing. So she woke me up out of a sound sleep, and she said to me, I want you to go to the Mass General Hospital. My niece's baby was born brain dead. Okay. So I said... I didn't say, yes or no. I knew I would go. I said, I'll do the best I can. And that morning, I had a friend with me, Eleanor and Father Vitek, and I told them about the baby, and Eleanor says, we're going to go to, after you do the radio program, we'll go see the baby. Well, the baby was 5 days old, 6 days old, and the baby was brain dead. When we went there, the baby was not moving. The baby did not suck. The baby did not cry. The baby was just there. When we went there, there was trouble. One grandmother was standing, looking at me, saying, do you have permission to be here? I looked at her and said, honey, I don't go any place without permission. I was called to come here, and I spoke to the mother of this baby, and that's why I'm here. The other grandmother is sitting over here. The baby is in the arms of the aunt. The other grandmother is here. I said, we're going to start praying for the baby. So I start praying for, we start singing. Yeah, start singing. Listen, the presence of God comes when you sing. So we start singing. And we start singing very softly, very softly, very softly, very softly. But we're singing and singing and singing. And after we finish singing, I declare in the name of Jesus Christ, by the power of the blood, this baby is completely healed. By the blood of Jesus that speaks far more eloquently than the blood of Abel. Right now, this baby is completely healed. Then I baptized the baby. I didn't have permission to do that, but I did it anyway. Because I've baptized babies with meningitis on a Friday, and on a Saturday, they had no meningitis. So I baptized the baby. And I spoke to this grandmother. This grandmother wanted nothing to do with me. She wanted nothing to do with me. She wanted me out of there because her son wanted to pull the plug. He didn't want an imperfect baby. This grandmother was telling me the baby is going to be a vegetable. I said, honey, we've got to give the baby 2 weeks. I said, you got to give... The lady was Spanish. I said to her, you're Spanish and you're poor. If you're a Kennedy, I'm going to tell you they'd be doing a lot for this baby. I know they've got everything hooked up to the baby, but I'm going to tell you, if you were a Kennedy in Massachusetts, they wouldn't tell you we're going to pull the plug. They'd give the baby a chance. I said, you don't let them pull the plug. You give this baby 2 weeks. Do you understand me? So she didn't say aye, yes or no. But I'm telling, 2 weeks. Give the woman, the baby, baby Antonio, 2 weeks. Well, that was, we left. And that was a Monday. On Wednesday, the baby moved its left leg and began to suck and whimpered. But the doctor said, it would be better for us to pull the plug because this baby is going to be a vegetable. When he said that, the grandfather, Spanish grandfather, pulls a nutty, starts screaming, saying, you want to execute my grandson. He's screaming like a madman. Thanks be to God for the grandfather. They throw him out bodily. That's Wednesday. The next Tuesday, the baby was sent home normal. Last night we prayed with the lady who had a complete body cast. A complete body cast. She was like this, okay? Just like this. Just like this, okay? That's how she was. She couldn't move. I said, we prayed over her after we prayed over her. I said, do you have the faith to take that body cast off? She took it off. Then we start praying and working on her again. Start working on her again. Stop. I tell you, she was moving her. She's starting walking. She was without pain. The Lord just delivered the woman. And I'm going to tell you why. This is the why. It's because we've been worshiping God. And as we worship God, the presence of God comes. It's not about my talking. And I talk every day on the radio for half an hour and 15 minutes, 45 minutes a day. But it's not about talking. It's about the holy presence of God. When the presence of God comes, things begin to happen. Explosions begin to happen. God touches his people. Now, I'm not against teaching, but I'm going to tell you this. It's much more important that we worship than we teach. We've been taught out our ears. How many teachings have we had on fasting, and how many of us really fast? I was shamed by some Protestant kids that fast on bread, just water and vegetables for 40 days. We did it ourselves. I was shamed. I said, if they could do it, I can do it by the grace of God. How many teachings have we had on fasting? And how many of us really, I mean really fast? When God's presence comes, things begin to happen. You don't have to shake the people up. I tell you, I'm seeing people smiling again. Because the Lord is touching his people. Now, I preach every night. But the main event is not the preaching. The main event is the worship. That's the main event. Change my heart, O Lord. Change my heart. First of all, if you want to know that song, it's very scriptural. Comes from the Bible. The Word of God says, I will give you a new heart, and I will give you a new spirit within you. I will take from your bodies your stony hearts, and I will give you hearts of flesh. I will put my spirit within you, and I will make you live by my statutes, careful to observe my decrees. I want you to hear the word of God. I will do it. You don't give yourself a new heart. This is the grace of God. I'm going to tell you, we people, as Catholic people, are the people that try so hard. I'm going to get a new heart. I've got to try to get a new heart. God says, I will take your stony hearts from you, and I will give you a heart of flesh instead. God says, I will sprinkle clean water upon you. It is the Lord who does it. The only thing we can do is cooperate. Because the more we try to get better and to get a new heart and to be really spiritual, we just drive ourselves nuts. It's God, the Father, who takes the initiative to give us a new heart. It is the will of God that he take from us our stony hearts and give us a heart of flesh instead. That's God's will. And it doesn't happen by trying. It happens by surrendering. It happens that when we're in the presence of God and the presence of God is falling, that I don't want that rotten, stony heart. I want a new heart. But what we do is we teach to people's heads. And we keep on reaching back for the stony heart and putting it back in. That's why the essence of worship is the presence of God. The awesome presence of heaven. The awesome presence of Jesus Christ, who gave his life for us, who was buried and rose from the dead. The essence of worship is the presence of God. It's not what we do. It's what God does in response. It's so important. It's so important. Now, Dr. Barnard was the first one who gave the first heart transplant. But let me tell you, God the Father had been involved in heart transplants since Abraham. He is an expert in heart transplants. He knows how to do it. He got that Saul of Tarsus while he was on the road to Damascus when he wasn't even looking for God. When he was a mass murderer. When he was killing Christians. You can see that Saul was really trying hard. You could see that Saul really wanted a new heart. It was God's will to strike him with the glory of God. And then he had to say yes or no. And he said yes. I think that we all try too hard. I think we all have stocks in Avis Rent-A-Car. We try harder when hurts is number one. We all try harder. I love it when people come to confession and says, you know, I'm really going to try harder. You know what I tell them? Don't bother. Don't bother. Please. Ask for the grace. Ask for the gift. Ask to pray that you would receive the gift and accept it. Don't try harder. Trying harder is like the man who keeps on banging his head against the podium. And he just keeps on doing it. And so someone comes up to him and says, sir, he says, yes, why do you bang your head against the podium continually? He said, because it feels so good when I stop. Yeah. Please. Please. I want to cooperate with what God is doing. I want to put my life behind what God is doing. I want to surrender that stony heart. So Dr. Barnard did the first physical heart transplant. And what is necessary for a heart transplant is something very simple. You've got to give up the old to get the new. If you give up your old heart, you can get a new heart. But if you keep on holding on to the old heart, the old hurts, how many times have we been through the healing of the memories? Give me a break. Time to move on. It's time. Stop blaming your mother and father and your sister and your brother and say, come on, it's time to move on. It's time to move on. Time to move on, my Lord. It's time to move on. We've been like the Israelites in the desert circling for 40 years. It's time to say, okay, Lord, I can't change my past, but you know what? Here I am. I come to do thy will. I can't change the way I was treated, but you know what, Lord? Use it in such a way that it become fertilizer in my life. Rather than it destroy me. I unite it to the cross. But I want to move on. I want to live for you. I want to live for you. Do you know that the Muslims are multiplying and taking our people? Do you know they have nothing but bondage to give? That they worship another god? When we have the presence of God and Jesus as Eucharist and the glory of God when we worship, and the Muslims are stealing our people and building mosques all over the place while we're closing churches, there's something wrong with that picture. It's not God's will. It's God's will that all men and women come to know Jesus Christ. That's God's will. It's God's will that all men and women, children, be saved as they surrender to the name and person of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the King of glory. It is not God's will. College kids, one right after the other, going to these mosques. Listen, we sold a church called St. Teresa's Church of all churches. We sold it to an undertaker. The undertaker, in turn, sells it to Muslims, and they have a mosque now at St. Teresa's Church. But listen, that's not the sad thing. The sad thing is at 12 o'clock, the place is filled with young Spanish people. That's the sad thing. Coming out. That's the sad thing. Breaks my heart. Totally breaks my heart. And they don't have the presence of God to give. They've got rules and structures, and if you do this, you're going to live with 19 virgins and all that foolishness. But you know, the Lord has given us Himself. We've got to start hailing Jesus. We've got to start thinking that if we're going to a Red Sox game and the Red Sox are cheered more than Jesus Christ, there's something wrong with that picture. When you have to pay $75 for a ticket to these people that are overpaid, and they don't care about you any more than anybody else. But Jesus gave His life for us. Jesus pours out His Spirit upon those who believe. Jesus has a new heart for us, but it comes in the presence of God. It's a grace. It doesn't come by working for it. It comes by asking and receiving. But especially when God's presence is there. When God's presence is in the room, anything can happen. Everything can happen. We had a lady last year that told us her story, you know? She said to me, but when I left, she said, I've been to psychiatrists all my life. This weekend has done more for me than anything I've ever experienced. If you were with us last year at Three Rivers, we were worshiping God, praising God. Oh yeah, I spoke a lot, probably too much. But we were worshiping God. We had those young kids, those Spanish kids. Powerful, beautiful, pure young people. They prayed over Father Wojtek last year, and he starts shaking. He never happened shaking. I just clear straight from him. I said, you know, this is what I wanted to happen to him. It takes these kids to do it. Isn't it wonderful? It's wonderful. This same Father Wojtek on Pentecost missed his plane. So he went to a church, got the key to the church, went to pray, put his head on the tabernacle on Pentecost, and the presence of God started coming upon him. He said what happened to him at the retreat happened to him there. He just was shaking all over. The presence of God was inundating him. That's what we need. That's what we need. You see, when God's presence comes, you don't have to advertise. It's its own advertising. Because people say, oh, there's something different there. Oh, I don't know what it is, but I want it. I go there and I feel alive. We never had to advertise charismatic renewal. We just had to worship God, and the droves of people came. Peter Kreft, the great writer, philosopher, came to my Life in the Spirit seminar when I was a sixth grade teacher. My Lord, what a nerve I had to do that. No, it's not nerve. They call that grace. And you know what he said? I was a Calvinist, I'm a Catholic, but I've never heard anyone preach like you. Then he said, and I know it's not you, because you're just a little guy that knows not too much. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. But it's the presence of God that changed him. It was the presence of God that changed him. I remember when he was asking, the week before he was baptized in the Spirit, he said, what are the odds that I'm going to get this baptism in the Holy Spirit? I'm thinking, I'm not a bookie. Like, what are the odds? So I said, okay, Peter, let me ask the Lord. I said, Lord, what are the odds? I looked up and I said, 100%. And he cocked his head. And he said, what gives you the right to say that? I said, Jesus. I said, Jesus said, your fathers among you know how to give good things to your children, your sinners. You have kids, yeah? If they ask you for a piece of bread, do you give them a stone? If they ask you for a fish, do you give them a scorpion? Jesus said, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? We didn't have to pray for Peter Kreft that next week because he got it that night. The Word of God did its job under the anointing of the Spirit. And that's another word we don't hear anymore, under the anointing. Under the anointing. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. It's the anointing that causes us to receive the new heart and to accept it. It's the anointing that comes from heaven. It's the presence of the Almighty. We need to be like our Blessed Mother. She was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. Oh, Jesus. What happens when you're overshadowed by the Holy Spirit? You produce Jesus. That's what happens. When the Holy Spirit overshadows us as we worship, as we praise, as we adore before the Eucharist, when the Spirit of God overshadows, we become fruitful. We produce Jesus. In word and in power. It's so simple. Before I
stand at the door and knock. This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.